Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be talking about a much anticipated event, a beloved event in this community. It's the 15th annual Soup Bowl. The event is a fundraiser for the Harbor. The Harbor, which provides services, it's where violence ends and hope begins. Intervention, recovery, support. And we'll learn more about that today because in the studio, I have Ariel Young. Ariel is the brand new community outreach coordinator for the Harbor here in Astoria, Oregon. Hi, Ariel.
Hi, thanks, Donna.
Glad to have you. So before we talk about the Harbor and the many changes that have happened over the years and the exciting event coming up on Saturday, June 2nd at the Loft at the Red Building, the Soup Bowl event, please tell the listening audience a bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, my fiance and I just moved down here from Seattle. We were, I've been in the marketing community outreach, working with seniors for the last 5 years or so. Together we explored the coast and chose Astoria just because it's such a cool, vibrant community, arts, culture, seemed like just a lot of cool things going on here that we were excited to get involved in. And yeah, we love this area.
And you, though, originally, though, you were from Iowa.
Yes, I am originally.
How did you get out to the West Coast?
Oh, gosh. I, you know, just moseyed my way out here, lived in Colorado for a while, then Central Washington, out to Bainbridge Island, and then...
And
yeah,
now here. And what's
exploring.
Great is before we went live here this morning, you shared that you met your fiance surfing and that both of you are surfers. And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting since you come from Iowa.
Yeah.
You are now a surfer.
Yeah. So it's just something I kind of picked up later in life as a, you know, independent way to be in the water, in the salt water. I love surfing. My fiance is a much better surfer than I am.
Right.
I'm a fair weather surfer.
And so, but you've chosen well because Astoria does have the vibrancy.
Yes.
And all of the different things happening here, and yet you have the cove and the seaside. You have all, you know, a lot of opportunities
for
surfing, which is great. So a lot of folks may not know what the Harbor is, because many years ago it was known as the Women's Resource Center, but it has morphed and transformed since then. So what is the actual, what is the Harbor?
The Harbor, we're a nonprofit that supports survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. We provide advocacy and prevention, and we have a specific focus on promoting self-determination for survivors. So to us, it's all about reconnecting the survivor with their own self-love, their own self-worth, so that they can make the decisions to make changes in their lives. And we just are there to give them the support, advocacy, and the resources to do that. But ultimately, it's their decision to make those changes.
Well, because a lot of people, and I know typically it's been women in the past, although you actually serve men and you serve the LGBT community.
Absolutely. And that's been a heavy focus of ours. That was the main reason for changing the name from the Women's Resource Center to the Harbor, to make sure that it was inclusive and that we're supporting all survivors across gender and lines.
So you're a 501c3, and your funding then primarily comes from grants and from fundraisers.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
And the Soup Bowl, which we should touch on now, and then we'll go back to some of the programs that the Harbor offers. The Soup Bowl is beloved here because Richard Rowland from Clatsop Community College and his class, his pottery class, they have, they provide these beautiful individual bowls. And you said you were actually out at the kiln. So tell us about that.
Last weekend. It was fabulous. Richard is just wonderful. His team is wonderful. They just built a brand new dragon kiln. They had, you know, I got to tour the old one and see his beautiful place. I guess this was the first firing, to my understanding, of this new kiln. So to be there to see all these bowls emerge and learn so much about the process, they were so generous with me and teaching me about crazing and vetrification. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't quote them yet. All these beautiful pottery terms.
Yeah.
And learning about how the bowls actually feed off of each other too and pull colors from a glaze on the bowl next to it in there, and the flames affect the bowls and how the color changes and creates flashing and totally changes the color of glazes when it's in a wood-fired kiln like that. Very different than a gas kiln, I guess, in the natural just changes that occur that they have no control over. I thought it was just a beautiful natural process. Very cool to learn about.
Yes, and even the ashes, I think, are part of it. And
yes.
And so in a way, not only does this benefit our community, this Soup Bowl event where you buy a ticket through the website, which is Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, Northwest, or just it's harbornw.org. And the tickets are being sold through Brown Paper Tickets. So your ticket includes, you get to pick one of these amazing soup bowls. Yes. And then you get it. It's filled with soup, of course. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of other things we'll talk about that happen at this event, which is happening Saturday, June 2nd at the Loft at the Red Building.
Yes.
So it's almost like the bowls themselves then create community within the kiln.
Exactly.
The way you're
describing I was amazed it. To learn that, how they all work together. No bowl is truly individual. You know, they pick up the colors and
they share.
Yep, exactly.
They're sharing
from
oh,
the
wow.
kiln.
Okay.
It's amazing.
And the harbor, how have things evolved since over the last few years? Because the need has not gone away. And I don't know if it's increasing. I know that people are stressed in our culture. There's a lot going on. And many times people don't know how to vent and how to process and how to deal with this stress. And so then that's where, unfortunately, you know, violence and abuse come into the picture.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It hasn't necessarily changed, but it may feel like we're seeing more of it because I think people are becoming more comfortable coming forward, especially with us being a non-reporting agency. That's helped a lot of people feel more comfortable coming forward. We're completely confidential. We can't be subpoenaed for information. It really creates a safe place where you can truly, we're there to help you, not to trap people and, you know, get their children taken away and all those sorts of things. We want to help people. We know they're working to keep their children and themselves safe already, and we just want to help them take the next step.
So what are some of the programs that the Harbor offers? And I know you're very excited about a brand new, something that has not, that you haven't been able to offer since 2015. So let's talk about the services you offer and what's new.
Sure. So right now we provide a 24-hour crisis line. So that line is available to anybody that's seeking services and also to friends and family. A lot of people don't know that. It's not just for people that are in crisis, but it's also for anybody that has a question on how they can support a survivor. If they, you know, have a family member who they suspect might be dealing with something like that and they don't know how to approach them or how to support them, we're there to answer those questions too, because family, you know, being there to support each other is very important in that process. Friends, it's really a community effort.
So you mean that so obviously someone's in an abusive relationship and maybe they don't recognize it as an abusive relationship because that happens so often in a silo, in a little bubble,
exactly.
You know, and they don't know what's a normal relationship and what's appropriate and inappropriate. But let's say that a cousin or a friend or a relative could then call you and say, hey, I have a suspicion. I'm worried that my cousin is in this relationship, which is unhealthy. And then you would counsel me if I were calling about that.
We would. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of things that people assume are going to be helpful, and not all help is helpful. There's a lot of different, very nuanced ways to talk to, you know, a survivor and give them information that's going to truly help them. And it's important that they're supported, whether they want to report or not, whether they want to make a change or not. It's important that that decision is up to them. And so especially if someone confides abuse in you, it's important not to ask why questions or to judge them, you know, or make them feel blamed in any way. A lot of the time, a lot of those questions can come across as being very blaming. Why did you make the decision to do A, B, and C? And it's never the survivor's fault that they were abused, but it does lie in their hands to make the decision to leave or to make a change of some kind.
So this, you have the 24-hour hotline. Mm-hmm. And why don't we give that number just in case somebody wants to write it down? And
yes, our crisis line number is 503-325-5735, and that's available 24/7.
Okay, so you have that, and then
we have a drop-in advocacy center as well at our offices at 801 Commercial Street.
Yes, you moved, and I mean, so many changes. You have now been with the Harbor since March.
Uh-huh.
Molly, the new executive director, has been there since January, and you have moved into the old Snow and Snow Law Building on the corner of 8th and Commercial.
Yes, we feel very lucky to be there. It's a beautiful space and a much more confidential, much more private. We've got misted glass as you enter, very different than the wide open windows of the old, you know, falling down building, and a much better place to serve survivors.
So you have the hotline, and then you have this drop-in advocacy. What does that mean?
It means that you can drop in anytime. We always have someone available between 9 and 4 at our drop-in center Monday through Friday. And we help people, we can help fill out restraining orders, protective orders, and walk you through that process, figure out which is the right one to fill out for your case. We can do safety planning if you are in an abusive situation, and talk about ways to remain safe in the meantime, help keep your kids safe, talk about the amazing efforts that they're already making and highlight those so that they feel, you know, more confident and recognize the efforts that they've already been doing.
And you've just hired some new people. So how does it work? Tell me about your staff.
Well, we're very excited about the new people that we've just brought on. We received a 2-year grant, and we're one of only 7 organizations in Oregon to receive this grant. That's a healthcare partnership. So it's going to allow us to have co-located advocates in hospital settings here so that they're right there. And if someone does indicate that they've experienced abuse in some way, then the hospital can immediately grab our advocate and bring them in to talk with them. You can, you know, just increases access to our services for survivors if we have more locations to run into them.
And you have how many employees now? And tell me, because you've added some new positions.
So that's 5 new positions. Well, 3 new positions in the healthcare partnership. We have the shelter opening. That's our most exciting thing for June, is the new confidential shelter that added 2 shelter staff to our team. And then about 7 other employees in our office, and then a team of DSART advocates as well. So in addition to our drop-in center, we also have a 24/7 DSART response team. So that's a domestic sexual violence response team. And they go out and alongside law enforcement to the hospital or after a abuse has been committed, and help the survivor advocate for them, bring resources, so we can be right there, right as something happens, and inform them of their rights, make sure they're not feeling blamed by the hospital or by, you know, not that that's, we have great hospitals here, but that has traditionally been a problem, or that they just know all of their options and we're there to support them and make sure they feel supported.
Mm. So really, I mean, you're almost like a one-stop shop. I mean, you have everything from the person who's just curious about, I don't know if this is abuse or not, but I need somebody to help give me a reality check, to somebody who says, I am in an active, dangerous situation. I need to escape. I don't know where to go. So the reason that you are very excited is that you will now in June be opening a shelter, mm-hmm. Which you have not had a shelter for since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
What has enabled you to be able to now do this?
Yeah, it was a matter of finding a new building. The old one just needed a lot of maintenance. And so we are really excited about our new space. It's going to be, it's obviously a confidential location, but it will be able to house 12 individuals at a time, or 4 families. And it's a vital service. It typically takes a survivor up to on average 7 attempts to leave an abusive situation, and that's due to lots of complex barriers, including but not limited to safe housing, you know, having somewhere to go and be safe. And the very unfortunate truth is that 50-75% of domestic violence homicides happen when a survivor is fleeing. So that's a crucial time for there to be a safe, a very extensive plan in place, and a safe place to go and be confidential to get all the support needed to make the next step to move.
Exactly. That is a crucial piece. So congratulations to the Harbor for being able to bring that back. So that opens in June. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today I'm talking to Ariel Young. Ariel is the brand new community outreach coordinator for the Harbor. And the Harbor is a nonprofit 501c3 organization here in Astoria, Oregon. Which is where violence ends and hope begins. They work with intervention, recovery, and support for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault and stalking. And they are having their biggest event of the year. This is the 15th annual Soup Bowl event, which is happening Saturday, June 2nd at the Loft at the Red Building. Well, some folks may not know what the Soup Bowl is. So we've alluded to it, we've talked about it a little bit, but please tell us what's going to happen on Saturday, June 2nd.
Yes, absolutely. We're excited. Again, we're partnering with Richard Rowland and the Potters at Clatsop Community College. So they throw 200 beautiful handmade bowls for us, and then local soups are donated by local restaurants. So the fundraiser is basically you grab this beautiful bowl that you get to take home with you. You fill it with soup from the local community, and then get to learn a little bit about the Harbor and our services. We'll have a speaker from CMH. This year, CMH has been a wonderful partner of ours.
Columbia Memorial Hospital is terrific.
Yes. And we're putting together a cool video where they'll get a little bit of a sneak preview of our shelter there as well. So that's exciting because, not many people will get that view. It's just from the inside. We'll do a little bit of fundraising and just informational programs.
Is there music? I can't remember. I mean, I'll tell you what happens. It sells out every year.
Yes.
So it sells every year because not only do people want to support the vital and important work you're doing at the Harbor, but they want to have one of the Richard Rowland, Clatsop Community College pottery bowls.
I know. I'm excited to have one.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what are the hours of the actual event?
It's going to start at 5:30. Doors will open at 5:30, and it'll go to 8:30 p.m.
Okay, and that's at the Loft of the Red Wing on Saturday, June 2nd. And the way that people get their tickets best is?
The best way is to go straight to the Brown Paper Tickets URL, and that's a soupbowl2018.bpt.me.
Okay.
And if that's harder to remember, you can find it through our Facebook. The link is on our Facebook event.
Okay. And I actually just went to the old-fashioned. I went old school here. I went to your website this morning, and it's announced on your web on the homepage that there was the Soup Bowl. And so I clicked on it, and it took me to Brown Paper Tickets.
There you go.
And then I would have been able to. So if you just remember even Harbor, harbornw.org. You definitely want to buy a ticket for this event. You want to be there, you want to support it, and you want to get your Soup Bowl for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Tickets are only $40 this year and bound to sell out. So buy them early.
Yes, indeed. Ariel, what have you learned? What's the most exciting thing that you've learned over the last just, a couple of months that you've been at the Harbor, and what are you excited about for the future?
I'm really excited about the advocacy for cultural change that our team is focused on. They're really invested in finding new and creative ways to support survivors, assessing our services, and making sure that we don't become complacent in what we offer, that we adapt with the need of the population as that changes. And that's a very fluid process. It's important to stay open and keep an open mind and always be searching for the best ways to support people as we evolve, just everyone in general.
And does the Harbor serve only Clatsop County, or does it serve people from across the river in Washington? How does that work?
We serve Clatsop County. We've served Clatsop County for the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 40 years.
Yes,
oh, my gosh,
amazing.
40 years. And with this new move to the Snow and Snow Building on 8th and Commercial, you've been able to now expand your staff and your services because there is a vital need. And so much of this starts, of course, with education with our young people about how do we resolve conflict.
Yes, and that's part of what we do. We're really excited about our teen outreach programs that we've been perfecting. We've been going into the Seaside Schools, the Astoria Schools, Warrenton, and doing presentations to the health classes and for our teens about consent. We partner with the DA's office and have a victim's advocate come along as well to talk about sexting and just other, you know, information that we feel is important for teens to have and help them make healthy decisions, promote healthy relationships, and know what that looks like. You know, we can't count on everyone having an example of that, you know, in their life. So it's important to get that information out to them.
That's wonderful. I didn't realize that you did that. Mm-hmm. That's so vital and important. I mean, there's just way too much information coming at our young people too early. Mm-hmm. And I think people get confused sometimes. Yeah. So trying to understand what is a healthy relationship, what does that look like? Yeah. Do you all have literature that you put out as well? Because I know, like, let's say if we think about an AA program, a lot of people aren't aware that, you know, that they can get some written material and learn about things like you were just talking about. A way to support somebody who's in an abusive situation may not be what they think automatically, oh, I should say or do this. But mm-hmm. but by talking to those people who are experts at the Harbor, then you know, like, the best approach to take with somebody who's in a situation who maybe wants to leave that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I try to focus on posting things like that on our Instagram as well. We're trying to, you know, change with the times and get to people in the best way. You know, it's often younger people that need that information, but all ages. So I haven't been focusing on printed literature. I'm sure we have some, but
you're right. Things are changing. Maybe printed literature isn't what's happening now. Yeah. It's really probably not. It's actually really is social media. And so now the Harbor is, you know, you have a Facebook page and you do have an Instagram. So how do you use Instagram and Facebook to help connect with people? Is it primarily educational, or is it just to help create a network of
educational and just awareness building? You know, so locally I try to put you know, for our Consent Rocks project in April was Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so that's really kicked off our new Instagram profile with photos from around the community of the people that were helping us and supporting survivors. Local businesses were nice enough to take our little painted rocks, our Consent Rocks project that had supportive messages for survivors, supportive messages for all people, really, and then our Instagram and our hashtag on the back of the rock. So we kind of hid those throughout the community, and you still probably will find them. But local businesses were nice enough to put those on their counter with the flyers and kind of promote that for the month of April. So I focused on that on the Instagram in April, but yeah, primarily statistics, little informative memes and graphics that display some sort of just information that we think is will help shift the thinking of people around where abuse occurs, how it occurs, and how you can help.
And isn't it really, it's a family lineage in some ways. I mean, isn't it? I mean, I think that, I haven't read up on this recently, so I don't know, but is it something that just is handed down from family to family, or is it, from family member to family member, is it something that people see, you know, as an example, and then they need to break the cycle? I mean, how
it could be. There's lots of complex factors. You know, I think you do sometimes see people perpetuating what they saw their parents do. But we feel as though that's the result of being disconnected from your strength, not recognizing that your strength comes from within, and needing to get that strength by taking power over another person. That works temporarily, very, very temporarily, and is not sustainable. So that's why, you know, they tend to continue to abuse and, you know, maintain their power that way, rather than recognizing that it comes from within.
Right. It is about power and control. There are so many, you're right, it's a multifaceted challenge, and many, many ways to reach someone. And that's what is important, is that you have these skilled people who know how to deal with someone, because I think there's probably a lot of fear, you know, when people feel like, oh, I need to do something. But I mean, we're so lucky to have you all here.
Yes.
that and what you have. So we just have a few minutes left. I'd like you to, you know, I know you brought a lot of notes and things. What haven't we covered? What would you like the listening audience to know?
Well, we are doing a drive for our shelter for primarily hygiene products. So we're looking for things like toothbrush, full-size toothpaste, shampoo and conditioner. We've had a lot of local churches and local people doing little drives at their places of work, which has been amazing. Things like towels, extra long twin bed sheets, different things like that. Things that are for our new shelter that we're, you know, opening in June. Supplies to help support survivors there. So you can get a full list of those things on our Facebook, just listed in a post there. And
yeah, how would people drop those off? Do they just take them to your office?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 801 Commercial Street.
All right, in the old Snow and Snow, right on the corner of 8th and Commercial. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so people can bring toothbrushes, toothpaste, and
any sort of hygiene products, feminine products. Yeah, there's a full comprehensive list of everything that we're in need of on the web.
That's really excellent to know. I'm thinking, actually, I have some things myself that I can donate. Good. And what other kinds of things do you want people to know about?
Yeah, buy your tickets for Soup Bowl. We're really excited about Soup Bowl. It's going to be a great celebration of the new shelter opening and really hopefully give the new flavor of the harbor and all the changes that we've made. The theme this year is In Our Element, which is our focus for survivors as well, helping them to be in their element, cultivating self-love, self-worth, and that's our focus.
Well, in our element, I like that, or I guess connecting with the authentic self, mm-hmm. because you're right. If people don't know who they are and they are disconnected, then they do look at other others to tell them what to do, mm-hmm. and they turn their power over. And, so you're trying to self-empower people.
Yeah, and exactly. And that happens. It's nothing to be ashamed of when a lot of us naturally are nurturers and caregivers, and we want to help other people. And someone that is looking to get power and control over another person can feed easily on that trait. And so that's why it's important to be steadfast in your own beliefs and recognize.
But what a wonderful thing then to see a person who has had the courage to come to you. And I'm sure that I've heard stories over the years because I've interviewed other folks who have been working with the Harbor, and how rewarded they feel when they see someone who has been able to get out of a situation, which is an abusive situation,
yes.
and create a healthy life mm-hmm. for themselves.
Absolutely.
And their children.
Exactly. It is tough work, but you're right that it is also the most rewarding work. So well worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so impressed by what you all are doing at the Harbor now. And I mean, I have to come and see your, your new offices are not actually open to the public though, right?
They are.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I guess, okay.
Our drop-in advocacy center is. I mean, we're careful about privacy and we've got lots of private rooms. So we, quickly take people into, a private area to work with an advocate. People are welcome to come explore our drop-in advocacy center and we'll give a tour anytime.
And easy parking.
Easy parking,
that's
yes.
Right. That's true. That's great. Well, congratulations, Ariel, for being part of this wonderful new energy that's happening at the
Thank
Harbor.
You.
And congratulations on the shelter opening, because that is needed, I know. Mm. And for the Soup Bowl, please remember to visit the website, which is Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, nw.org, or go to Brown Paper Tickets, and definitely you don't want to miss getting your Soup Bowl for June 2nd. Anything else you'd like the listening audience to know?
You got it all.
I think we covered it.
Thanks,
all right,
Donna.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for the very important work you're doing. Let's support the Harbor and support all their programs and their advocacy by buying a ticket or donating some things for the new shelter. So thank you so much. And Terry Wilson, appreciate your extraordinary genius at the board there, and my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself. Take a deep breath. It's good for body, mind, and spirit. And then, with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well. Focus on the things that are with gratitude, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, and for doing the best you can. Everyone really is. For being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.